Well, church, let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for today, God. And Lord, I pray that today would be yet another reminder of how great you are. Lord, I pray that no one would be able to leave this house today, God, be they children, youth, us here in this room, God. No one would be able to leave this house today without standing in awe at the fact, at the truth, at the beauty of you, God. And would be able to say, oh, how great is our God. Lord, I pray, would you bless us here right now as we open your word, Lord, as we open your Bible, and help us to see yet more reasons that we can say how great is our God. We bless you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to everybody. Happy Memorial Day. That's kind of a big deal. That's exciting. An interesting Memorial Day. If you're not familiar, it's a day set aside to honor our veterans, to honor those who have served in the military, specifically to honor our fallen soldiers. And Memorial Day is a holiday. It started all the way back in the Civil War. I didn't know that. But as a day set aside to honor those who have sacrificed, especially those who have sacrificed everything in protection of others. Anybody remember, it was back in, was it 2000, 2001, HBO released a miniseries, Band of Brothers. Anybody seen Band of Brothers? Oh, that was so good. It was about 10 parts, I want to say 10 episodes, something like that. And it drew people into the story. If you're not familiar, Band of Brothers follows a company of men, of paratroopers, soldiers, Easy Company, part of the 101st Airborne. It follows them through their training and then through their combat experiences all through Europe during World War II. In Easy Company, they had the distinction of being involved in every major conflict that occurred in Europe during that time. They had a really high casualty rate. I want to say it was something like 150% of the people that started ended up at the end. And so a series like that, of course, it appeals to history buffs, to people that like to read history books and watch the documentaries. I'm kind of one of those people. But it appealed to so many more. And I think that's because we got to see a true band of brothers. We got to see the camaraderie that comes when people are joined together for a common task, when they are working together to achieve the same goal. When we get to see these group of men, young men, 18, 20, 22 years old, even though they're thousands of miles away from home and they're in a land they've never been to before, they didn't feel alone because they had each other. They had a great fellowship with each other. They'd be willing to do anything for each other, even sacrifice themselves for that other person. And that's something that appeals to so many of us because, you see, we naturally desire to have a camaraderie with another group of people, to have fellowship with another group of people, to belong. Everybody seeks to belong to somebody. You know, it's the same reason people join the church. It's the same reason people join gangs. Because they want to belong to something. And God created us this way on purpose. You know, it's no accident that universal to humanity is the desire to belong to something bigger. Because God created us this way so that we might seek it in Him. That we would seek our acceptance, we would seek our belonging, we would seek our fellowship in God and with His people. But yet so often, we fail to find that. A few years ago, Time ran a survey, Time magazine, and they asked the people a simple question: how many close confidants do you feel you have? How many people are close enough to you that they know you, that you can share information with, and you can trust them to be there for you. The most common answer given? Zero. See, as a society today, we so struggle with having close friends with us. We struggle in finding people with whom we can have a deep, deep relationship with us. But yet that's one of the reasons why God made us. You see, today what we're going to see is this, that God created you for fellowship. And what I mean by that is this, God wants you to belong to His family. You see, God is creating a spiritual band of brothers and sisters. And He wants you to be a part of that. In fact, God is doing everything that He can to make you a part of His family. The Bible says this, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." We can be brothers and sisters with God only through Jesus. He is the foundation. He is what unites us together. And what you'll find is this, that if you are all in to Jesus, you have more in common with people that live in Zimbabwe whom you've never met before than you do with a person that lives down the street that isn't living for Christ. Because you are united together by that which matters most, the pursuit of Jesus. You're united together and being able to say, "How great, oh, how great is our God." And once we come together, church, once we dive in to our purpose of fellowship, and we're going to have a group of people around us, and we're going to be able to say, you know what? When someone sneezes, we say, "Bless you." That's exactly where I was going. But hey, we're in this together. And when you're in something together, that's where you have strength. That's where you have encouragement. The church, we are in this together. If you've been with us for the past couple of weeks, we've been asking this question, what on earth am I here for? We've been looking for purpose. Is there a purpose to this life? And if so, what is it? And the truth of the gospel is that God created each one of us on purpose for a purpose. And so we've been seeing what are the purposes that God has for us. First, we saw this, that God created us for worship. Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." The way we show that love to God is through worship. And part of worship looks like what we just did, singing songs focused on how great our God is. And that's just one way to worship. Worship in the general sense is standing in awe of God. It's responding to who He is, to what He has done, and what He promises to do. God created us for worship. And then we saw our next purpose. God created us for ministry. You see, God doesn't give us His grace. God doesn't do wonderful things in our lives so that we might hold on to it. No, He gives us grace that we might show it to others. God has a wonderful, wonderful ministry for each and every one of us. Jesus says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That means that God has something that only you can accomplish in your world. And He wants you to jump in and to go for it. Last week we saw God created us for evangelism. And this means we're going to take this great joy that we have in God and we're going to tell somebody. God wants us to tell the good news of the gospel to people. In fact, every single one of us, we're here in this room because somebody told us about Christ. And then Jesus says, even as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, we started looking at the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And this is what we saw last week. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. The clear instruction of Jesus is to make disciples. Now, this is what we're going to be talking about this weekend, next week. What does it look like to make disciples? The first step that we have to have is we have to have evangelism. You can't make disciples for Jesus if you're not telling people about Jesus, right? But it doesn't end there. See, it involves so much more. And what I love about these purposes, church, is that each one that naturally flows into the next. You see, God created us for worship. He created us to love Him. But you cannot love God unless you love God's people. And so love for God naturally becomes love for people. Worship becomes ministry. It becomes service. And if you really love people, then you want the best for them. And the best for anyone is to know Christ. Is to be able to say, oh, Lord, I want to know you more. And so as we bring the best for people, that is evangelism. And that leads us into our purpose for today. You see, a people, a church, a group that is joyfully worshiping, that is joyfully serving, that is telling everyone around them about the joy that they have in Christ, they're going to naturally want to be a part of that group. God created us for fellowship, to belong to each other, to have something bigger than us that we can belong to, that we can take heart in. And Jesus talks about this. When he says, make disciples of all nations, he immediately says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Ever found it interesting that Jesus thinks so highly of baptism that he puts it right up there with making disciples? In fact, he puts it as a key part of making disciples. Why is baptism so important? See, baptism, it shows that you belong to the family of God. Baptism is just a sign for all to see that you are now living for Jesus and that you belong to the community of believers. All baptism is showing people what God has done in your life and in your heart. And it welcomes others to come and do the same. See, later on in the letter to the Hebrews, it says, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. You ever had a moment in your life where you just felt ashamed of yourself? Where you start to wonder, how could anybody want to spend time with me? How could anybody want to invest in me? Jesus has never had that moment for you. Because Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother. He is not ashamed to call you his sister. You know, sometimes when you're out in public and you're with your family and they start acting all kinds of crazy, and then you start to ask the person next to you, whose kids are those? And the answer I give is, they're Kayla's. They're not mine. Jesus, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what we're doing. Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother or his sister, because he wants everyone to know that he is with you. Come on, church. How great. How great is our God that he would want to be identified with us. Now, one day when we think about heaven, then we're going to have the perfect reality of perfect fellowship, not only with Jesus, but with all the saints who have ever lived all across the world. Think about that. But until then, we have a picture of that fellowship. And that picture of the heavenlies is right here. It's a church. It's a family. You see, a church is not this building. The church is this people. And as we press in to the church, that's where we get to experience this wonderful purpose that God has for us of fellowship. You see, every one of us, we need a church family. Everyone you've ever met needs a church family. Why is that? Here's just a few things from the scriptures. The first reason we need a church family is that it identifies you as a genuine believer. Now, before I move on, let me say this. Just because somebody comes to church doesn't make them a genuine believer. Amen? Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Everyone's with me here. All right. However, genuine believers, they belong to a church family. So not everyone who comes may not be a part of God's family, but everyone that's a part of God's family is part of his family here on earth, is part of a church. Jesus says this, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." You cannot love God's people if you're not around them. You need a church family. It identifies you as a genuine believer. And not only that, it moves you out of a self-centered isolation. You see, when you're isolated, when you're withdrawn from community, you tend to focus completely on yourself. For the simple fact of, there's nobody else there. But when we press in to community, when we start to live out God's desire for us within a church family, then we are focused on those around us because we want to help them worship. We want to help them minister. We want to help them practice evangelism. John writes that this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, this verse, it can and it should be taken literally. You know, there may come a time where you do run into a burning building, or you do jump in the river to try to save that child. That may come. But those occurrences are very, very rare. More likely, the best way to live by this verse, to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, is to lay down our preferences for each other, to lay down what we perceive to be our rights for each other, to let the other person be first. Paul says that we are to outdo one another in showing honor, to be zealous in good works for each other. And when a church lives by that, where every single day they're seeking to put others before themselves, you can't stop that group of people because they are united together. And they realize that the foundation of their community, it's not based on any of those things. You know, some might say, well, I wish we did newer songs. Some might say, I wish we did older songs in our worship. Some say our worship is too fast. Some say it's too slow. Some say it's too loud. Some say it's too quiet. Usually that means you're doing all right, you know, if everybody's upset. But when we come together, we take those preferences and we put them over here for the sake of the common good, for the sake of our brothers and our sisters. You need a church family because it helps you press in to community. Not only that, it helps to keep you from backsliding. Now, backsliding is just a term that refers to visiting old sins. Backsliding is when the person that's been sober for 2 years decides, you know, I can handle just one drink. Backsliding is when the parent that has decided not to yell at her kids anymore starts to get all kinds of anger and frustration build up within her when she sees the second bowl of Cheerios has been spilled. Backsliding is when the person that has sworn off pornography looks through the swimsuit magazine at the checkout aisle. The church protects you from backsliding. The Bible says that we should encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Belonging to a church family fills us with the encouragement to stay away from sin. And that encouragement comes from other people, which brings us to the last reason you need a church family. And really, this is the most important reason. If you notice a theme in the first three, it identifies you as a genuine believer. It keeps you from being isolated. It keeps you from backsliding. But the greatest reason we need a church family is because the body of Christ needs you. Not only do you need the body of Christ, not only do you need the church, but the church needs you. The Bible says that you are the body of Christ, and each of you a part of it. God wants to encourage someone today, and He wants to do it through you. God wants to strengthen someone today, and He wants to do it through you. God wants to comfort someone today, and He wants to do it through you. You know, when I speak with people that hadn't been at church in a while, usually it goes something along the lines of this, you know, life's busy, and believe me, I'll get that. I'll be the first to say, life is chaotic. And then I hear things such as, well, but we're doing all right. You know, we should be in church, but we'll get there. We'll get there sooner or later. But hey, everything's going fine for us now. Now, I'm not disparaging any of that. All I'm saying is this, that mentality misses the point. It misses the main reason why you need a church family. Because the main reason that you need to be a part of the church is because the church needs you. It's because now that person that God wanted to encourage through you, now they don't have it. The person that God wanted to strengthen, the person that God wanted to comfort through you isn't going to receive it. You see, God calls us ambassadors of reconciliation. All that means is that God has a task for each one of us. And in fact, we have our experiences in life, both the positive and the negative, in order that we can reach out to those who are going through the same thing. And we can comfort them and encourage them. And so, church, you need a church family. And the church family needs you. Every single one of you. When we're disconnected from the church family, when we're disconnected from people, when we feel like if someone asks us how many close confidants, how many close friends do you have, and we feel like the only answer we can give is zero, we're missing out. That sets the stage for depression, for anger, for isolation, for bitterness. Sets the stage for selfishness because all we are is focused on us when there's no one else around. But in the church, in fellowship with God's people, then we can have fulfilled joy because we are living according to God's purposes. We all need a church family. And those who aren't part of a church family, they miss out on everything that we just said. And also those who go from church to church to church to church and never press in to a single body. Maybe you spend a year or two at one place, then a year or two at another, then a year or two at another. We're missing out on all the benefits that come from fellowship. Press in. Press into the church. The church needs you. Because, hey, we're in this together. Oh, we're in this together. And so having seen that God created you for fellowship, well, what gets in the way of forming true friendships? What barriers keep us away from fellowship? Why is it that the most common answer to that question was zero? Well, I think there are several reasons, but this is what I think is the biggest hindrance that we have. You know, many of us have been hurt in past relationships. We've pressed in to fellowship before and we got burned from it. And so, of course, I'd want to keep us from forming new ones, from doing that again. You know, you had a friend that you trusted with a sensitive struggle that you're having. And then a week or two later, you find out that they told four different people about it. Maybe you're in a dating relationship and you think everything's going great, and then you find out the other person's just using you. Or maybe you have pressed into a church family before and you felt like it was genuine family, genuine fellowship. But instead, you start to realize that the church is only interested in what you're willing to do for them and what you're willing to serve. And so, of course, if any of those happen, it'd be natural and logical to say, well, I'm not doing that again. You know, you get your hand slammed in the door, you're not going to do that again, right? But you see, fellowship is so important. It is so vital. Yes, you're going. This is the encouraging word for the day. You're going to be hurt by people. People are messy. Have you noticed that? And the closer you get to them, the messier they get. I saw a book written by, I think it was John Ortberg, that's entitled Everybody's Normal Until You Get to Know Them. Amen? Amen. Myself included. But it is so worth it, church. It is so worth it to have a community of people around you, to have a group of people that you can go to when life is going great and they can celebrate with you, to have a group of people you can go to when tragedy strikes, and they can put their arm around you and remind you, we're in this together. Fellowship is so, so important. In fact, joy in God, it's incomplete unless we have joy in God's people. You know, I've heard the sentiment before. I think there was even a different book written about it. Now, I love God, but I can't really stand the church. That's a misunderstanding of the love of God. See, you can't love God unless you love his people. And we should all be careful about what we say about the church. Jesus calls the church his bride. We don't want to be about the business of telling Jesus his bride is ugly. That's not a good thing to do. Now, let's just soak on that one for a moment. We're in this together. So we see that we need to press in to God's family, to the church family. Well, how do we do so? What does that look like? We've been talking about how important it is. Well, how do we do it? Well, the first thing is to settle in your mind that you will press in to God's people. We have to make that decision. And then from there, we take the initiative to reach out towards others. You see, assume other people want to get to know you. 99.9% of the time, that's true. Introduce yourself to somebody. You know, even in a church this big, we have about 150 or so people on any given Sunday, and we have a single Sunday service, I'd be willing to bet there's people in this room right now you do not know. After service, introduce yourself. Learn their name. Learn something interesting about them. You find out all kinds of good stuff, and that's the first step in fellowship. You know, next week we're going to have this picnic, this time set aside just to eat and have a good time and chat and get to know one another. Come and make up your mind beforehand that you're going to meet people and you want to get to know more people because you want your fellowship to expand. And in fact, this picnic is a perfect time to, if you have someone in your life that you've been talking about church with and are saying, yeah, that sounds interesting, bring them to the picnic. We're going to be out there eating hot dogs. I mean, it doesn't get less intimidating than that. Someone who doesn't ever want to be a part of a church, or they'll come to a picnic. Invite them. Bring them. Build the fellowship with each other. Now, that's just the first step. Real fellowship, deep connections happen within the church. The best place for them is within a small group. If you're not part of a small group, you're missing out. We have some wonderful small groups here at the church. And in fact, over the next couple months, we're going to launch a few more. I'm really excited about that. We'll share the details as they come. But you see, in a group even this large, you can't have a deep relationship with everybody. It's just impossible. But with a small group, 8, 10, 12 adults that meets together every week, every other week, something like that, that's where you really get to know people. And that's where you'll turn to celebrate life together and also to comfort each other when life happens. Now, another way to have fellowship within the people, and in fact, this is the first way, it's what Jesus talks about in the Great Commission that we just read. It's through baptism. Baptism shows the entrance into the community of believers. If you're here and if you haven't been baptized, it's time. You know, we celebrated baptism just a few weeks ago. It's a wonderful celebration. Everybody gets excited over that. In fact, that was the week before Easter, if I remember correctly, Palm Sunday. And so if that's something you've been thinking about, or maybe you've been baptized as a child, but you're kind of thinking about going through that again, come and talk to me. Talk to me after service. I love talking with people about baptism because it shows your desire to have fellowship with God and with God's people. Now, this message, this purpose that God gives us of fellowship, it's so important to me. Because you see, in my own life, growing up, both as a child and then as a young adult, I didn't have fellowship with anyone. I was the one that was a loner, that was off to the side. I didn't think anybody wanted to have an interest in me, wanted to get to know me. And so because of that, I lived a very angry, bitter, prideful life. All those things we talked about just a little bit ago. But then I remember one day when I sensed the Lord come into my life and bring me to Him. And I remember looking through the scriptures, and you'll see over 40 times some variation of God saying, "You will be my people, and I will be your God." And I read that, and I remember thinking, "God, you don't want me to be a part of my people or of your people. You don't know the stuff that I've been through. You don't know how I really am." You know how ridiculous it is to tell God He doesn't know something? That one hit me pretty good. And then we started going to the church. We started pressing into God's family. We joined the church family here at Center Point several years ago. And I felt, for the first time in probably my whole life, accepted. I felt like I belonged to something. If you're here today, and you don't feel accepted by people, press into the church. The church is the place for it. If you're here today and you don't feel like you belong to anything, you feel like an outcast in your whole life, press into the church. Our church is full of outcasts. Right? Yeah, a few. Yeah. Maybe it's just me. You need a church family, oh church. Troy, would you come up? I don't know where you are. I need someone to play the keyboard, so I'll quit talking. But fellowship. Oh, it's so, so important, church. And my encouragement for you today, step into your role as a member of God's family. What is your role in God's family? It's to be a brother, to be a sister, to be a mother, to be a father to others within that family. As soon as you do, you'll feel what I felt, maybe for the first time. You'll feel acceptance. You'll feel like you belong. And you know why? Because you do. Remember, we're in this together. Let's pray, church. Well, Lord, we thank you, God, that you have created this family, God, this group of people that can come together and that are brothers and sisters, not by birth, oh God, not because we share a last name, not because of geography or way of life or any of that stuff, but because we share in Jesus. God, I thank you that He is the great gatherer. He is the great uniter, oh God. He is the one that can bring people together from all walks and all ways of life to come under and to celebrate Jesus and to be able to say, how great is our God. Lord, I'm reminded in the letter Paul wrote to the Ephesians, it says that Jesus has broken down the wall of hostility. This hostility that keeps people separate, hostility that causes war and strife and conflict. Jesus has broken that down. The only way we can have peace with each other is through Jesus. God, I pray for those in this room right now, God, who don't have a connection with people around them, who feel as if no one even wants to get to know them, who feel unlovable. Not only that they're not loved, but that they're unlovable, that they're unworthy. God, would you show them that you have said they are worthy. Worthy of what? Worthy of Jesus. And Jesus, that you came, that you lived a perfect life, that you suffered, that you died, and what we just celebrated in communion, that you rose again on the third day, that you ascended into heaven. Why did you do all that, Lord? To bring a family together, to unite people from every tribe and tongue and language and nation, to unite them together by the throne of God. Lord, I pray a blessing over this people, God. Any in here, Lord, who are suffering from loneliness, God, I pray you would meet their need. Any in here, Lord, that are suffering from depression or anxiety or bitterness, God, or anything that comes from not having a deep connection with other people, Lord, would you meet their needs, God? And just as your word says you'll do, Lord, I ask, would you meet it through the church? Let the church be known as the uniters in this community, God. Let the church be known as the place where people can gather together as brothers and sisters of Jesus. Lord, I praise you and say once again, how great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great. How great is our God. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you. One person liked it, and I thank that person. I want to encourage you. Take a moment on your way to get your kids, because I ran long. Sorry to the teachers. Take a moment. Introduce yourself to somebody here that you don't know. Take the first step in building fellowship right now, church. Can we do that? God bless you.